I know it's up for me.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. It's Magic the Amateuring, and we're here all together in one room. We're not separated in multiple rooms and talking over Skype because we care about you guys, the listener. I'm joined by two of my co-hosts, people who I've converted from normal civilians into true magic addicts. To my left is Maria, Statue of Liberty, Bartholdi.
That's my nickname.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
And over here on my right is the Mega Wolf. Say hi, Megan.
Oh!
And right here to my center is me, Old Ben Kenobi.
Hey, I wanted to call you Old Ben Yeller when you started saying that sentence.
That's considerably more sad.
Are you in Texas, Megan?
Am I in Texas?
Yeah.
No.
But you're from Texas.
But I'm from Texas.
And so you want to shoot me with a shotgun? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that you can turn anything into an Old Yeller reference. Try me.
Okay.
Oh, man, I have liver cancer.
Oh, well, I guess we're going to have to Old Yeller ya.
Hey, I can't decide which is my favorite crayon color in this Crayola box.
Oh man, you need to take that pink crayon and Old Yeller it.
I was going for a yellow joke.
My pants got caught in the escalator and now I need a ride home from the mall.
Oh man, that escalator totally Old Yellered your pants.
I was going to say, better take you behind the barn and shoot you.
You mean the dress barn?
Yes.
Maria, are you from Texas? Because you're better at this than I am.
Oh, God. That was one of our best ones. Hey, guys, we've got a Cracker Jack show for you today. So dip your hand in the box and see what your prize is.
Is that because we're all white? Are you making this racial?
I'm making this 1950s.
Oh.
Cracker Jack.
Are we talking about baseball today?
No, but we are talking about modern masters. Ben and I had a chance to draft the format, and it was pretty amazeballs, you guys.
It was fun. I drafted a deck. Guys, it was nuts. I had 35 playables.
I looked at the cards online.
Wow.
Perfect.
That's we'll talk about
Megan.
Them.
What did you think? What went through your head?
Damn, I wish I could play this. Also, I want a snack.
Oh.
That's always going through my head.
Exactly.
Tell me about it, you guys. Who's always hungry? This guy.
Who always wants someone to deliver him a mini chicken? Ben.
Yeah, that's true. A mini chicken. Give me the full size.
We're also going to talk about our cards of the week, do some lessons learned, great moments in addiction, and of course, create a card. So stay tuned for all that. If you go away, we'll Old Yeller you. You guys, it's not a threat. It's not a threat. Don't call the police.
It totally was.
Okay. So modern masters, y'all. You know, I was pretty skeptical when this came out.
What? Why? Why are we so skeptical?
Wait, I'm with Maria on this.
Yeah.
Mm. And let's see if it's for the same reason. Maria?
Yeah. My reason was because it cost $30 to draft it at our local game store, which is...
Damn, that's money.
Twice the price of a normal draft.
Yeah, damn Gina.
Who's Gina?
She's Martin's girlfriend, on and off
girlfriend.
Oh,
yeah, Martin.
Martin!
And I looked at the cards, but I honestly, you know, I'd never played with any of these cards before because, as has been said on the show, we started learning about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So everything was completely new. I thought, you know, if I try and draft this, it's going to be a disaster. I'm not going to know what any of these do. I don't know any of their synergies. And it's $30. Like,
shoot me with a railgun.
Bring me out behind the dress barn and just clock me.
Shoot me. That's kind of how I felt. Mostly, I think I was just mostly, I feel like I always say that I'm overwhelmed on this show. but frankly, I was overwhelmed. Mm. I was mostly just sort of like, fuck all these cards. And that sums it up.
Why?
Well, because like you said, like we just recently started playing. They're from a bunch of old blocks that I have zero nostalgia about yeah. because I wasn't around the first time that they were around.
Yeah.
So it was basically just like, fuck all you old people and your old times reminiscing. Go drink a sarsaparilla or whatever and play Shards of Alara like I care.
Yeah, back from the 1800s, Shards of Alara. I felt, you know, I've heard a lot of people compare this to like the Time Spiral block just because of all the complexity that's going on. And I had some wary feelings in my belly because I have not played with all of these sets either. And I did jump into a Time Spiral draft online once, which I had never drafted before. I didn't draft it when it first came out, and I did feel quite overwhelmed. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what cards go with what or what strategies go with who. But yeah. I did not really feel that way in Modern Masters. Probably because I, one, know about half of the cards, and two, because I think the archetypes are actually pretty well laid out for you. Despite there being a lot of complicated cards, it's not that hard to figure out, you know, if you're in a color combination.
2 seconds.
What are you trying to do? 2 seconds till what? What's going on, Megan? Are you dying?
Till blast off.
Oh, I see. Megan is actually Skyping in from the space station.
I thought my brother was going to come back.
Oh, no.
So I had to go head that off.
Megan, will you do an experiment where you wring out a wet towel?
Oh, yeah, of course I will.
Okay, thank
because
you.
Because I'm in space.
That's the next step for the show. Show from space.
So Maria, what was your... How did you come to be a true believer?
Sure. Well, I was peer pressured into it.
Yeah.
On draft night. They were like, hey, they had their switchblades out. They were like,
I don't know if that's so much peer pressure.
As knife point pressure.
That's threat.
Right.
We've arrived at threatening.
Okay, so I was threatened.
Wait, unless you also had a switchblade out.
I did.
Oh. They're like, come on, Maria, everyone with switchblades out is doing it.
That's right. They were, in fact, your switchblade peers.
Yeah, we are called the switchblade bros. So.
And then everyone just stabbed to the right in a clockwise circle.
Yeah, yep. It's like a really violent circle jerk. All right, sorry. I was peer pressured into it. I wasn't going to do it because I've been feeling sort of poor recently, and I was like, I don't know.
I've been feeling poor.
In my soul, yeah. It's an emotion.
Yeah, maybe you should find religion.
I've heard that it takes care of lack of wealth of yourself.
Yeah, so they said, you know, it's going to be really fun, just do it. And I was like, all right, fine. I looked at the cards online the day before I drafted, and, you know, listened to some people talk about the cards and the different synergies, and that kind of gave me a little jumping off point. I even had a little list that I brought with me to the draft of the different archetypes.
What was on your list?
Well, I wrote down a bunch of the color pairs, all of the color pairs that you could have, and what their different mechanics were. And then I also wrote down a list of all the rares I should take that were worth a shit ton of money.
Oh, did you get any?
I did not.
Oh.
I think, you know, I probably might have made my money back, though, because I did win a couple of packs. So I think I at least made it back.
Yeah.
But I... I'm a true believer. It was the most fun I think I've probably ever had at a draft, despite, you know, except for my first draft, which was a religious experience, right?
Sure. So, a baptism, if you will, by commons.
Yes. Baptism by commons. It was just, I don't know if I can put my finger on why it was so fun, but I think it might have something to do with the fact that when you're looking at a pack and you're drafting and you're like, hey, all of these are potentially good cards, except for maybe one or two.
Yeah, it did feel, to me it felt a little bit more like cube drafting usually feels, in that everything, like all the cards in the set are like really powerful, and even the least playable cards in this set are still quote unquote, air quote, end quote, playable. Whereas, like, in Return to Ravnica or a set like that, there's some cards that are just trash, right?
Yes.
So we're saying that the Modern Masters, 5 or 10 years from now, isn't going to have any Goblin Test Pilots in it.
It's going to have all goblin test pilots.
Oh, you're right. It's just going to be packs. It's going to be a pack of 15 goblin test pilots.
We do know that's a bomb, right, you guys?
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about, like, the Modern Masters, like,
that, 2020.
That takes cards from this era? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, a future.
Like, Modern Masters 8 or whatever?
Exactly. That includes cards from this.
Pictures of that in Back to the Future 2?
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys. Can we go look at Back to the Future 2 and figure out what's going to be in Modern Masters 8?
I assume.
It's 2015, right? So.
Yeah, so they need to make 2 Modern Masters sets a year.
For this to be correct.
Or 3 a year, I guess. Yeah.
Remember, in Back to the Future 2, they have dust repellent paper. So it's going to be a whole different kind of magic card.
Wow.
Never going to get dusty.
They basically took, like, the juiciest cards and shoved them all in this set to the point where it's, like, it's almost hard to evaluate. And like I said, I ended up with a deck that had way more playables than I needed. And towards the end, I was, like, just like, oh, man, Jesus. I don't even know, like, which of these cards do I need to round out my deck.
Yeah, that was how I felt. Like, I was going back and forth between some colors just because everything was so good.
No.
It was just like, well, I could take this or this. I mean, they're both just insane.
So, Maria, what strategy did you end up employing?
Well, I employed the suspend strategy.
Oh, same way you keep your pants up.
That's right. Fuck belts. That's my motto. Yeah, so I took a lot of... I have green and blue.
Wait, is that like...
Can we go back to fuck belts?
Fuck belts or fuck belts?
What's a fuck belt?
What's a fuck belt?
Ben, enlighten us.
Well, if you want to have sex with someone in space...
Oh, Megan would know.
You need some kind of mooring to keep them from floating away.
Do you think somebody's done it on the space station?
Of course they have. Are you kidding?
What do you mean, of course?
Have you guys ever read the comic book Why the Last Man?
No.
Oh, it's so good. And the pregnant astronaut. I shouldn't...
Spoiler alert.
Zero gravity baby.
The basic plot of Why the Last Man is that all male mammals on Earth die simultaneously. There's like some kind of event.
It's like some kind of like plague or crazy thing happens and they all die except for this one guy and his monkey.
Yeah, his helper monkey.
Yeah.
But then there's men on the space station that don't die.
Right.
Oh.
And then, but then like, there's also a woman on the space station.
And she's totally preggers. And she's also was married and not to any of the space station dudes.
And she doesn't know who the father is.
Because it could have been any of them?
I don't remember that part.
Mm, nope. You guys, all astronauts, major hosts.
Of course.
No, seriously, though. Do you think somebody's done it in space? I don't think they have, because I think they're all like, we have to adhere to the rules.
You think they have a rule against having sex in space?
It's like...
Have that rule.
Do you know how small that thing is?
It's just like in the military. No one has sex in the military.
That's right.
The military is not in a little capsule where you have to zip yourself in to go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, what if you're like... What if you're, you know, the space station is rocking and all of a sudden you like punch your hand through some gold foil
and then you're there. There's the void of space.
Also, God... Where is the load going to go?
What do you even mean?
I think you know.
I mean, that question doesn't make sense.
Oh, it's going to go out the airlock and floating slowly into the Delta Quadrant.
What?
Wormhole.
Yeah, anyway, suspend.
Yeah.
Which is quite a powerful mechanic, and I really loved it.
What is the suspend mechanic?
So, for instance, I have a card here, Giant Dust Wasp, which is 3 green to cast. It's a 3/3.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hard cast it for 5, or I can suspend it for 1 colorless and 1 green, and gets a time counter on it starting at 4, and every upkeep I remove a time counter from it until the last upkeep it comes into play. And it has haste, so... it's almost, if I played this, you know, on turn two, I mean, it's like pretty sweet.
Right. So you play it on turn two and then you get it four turns later.
Yeah.
So it's like you're casting it as a six drop, except it's kind of like you're casting it as a five drop because it gets haste, so it can attack right away.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I haven't played with a lot of suspend cards, so I don't know how good it is, but was it good?
Yeah, like, it was great because even if I didn't have a lot of actual two drops in my deck, so these acted as two drops for me and gave me something to do on my turn. And so I had a bunch of suspend guys, and the rest of my guys were flying. I think I only had one dude who didn't have flying in my entire deck.
What?
So it was pretty insane.
Is he like that one... He's like the one dude at the party who won't wear a toga, and like everyone else has togas on.
Yeah.
And he shows up like in flannel and cowboy boots, and everyone's like, Peter.
Who is this
when
dude?
When you say flannel and cowboy boots, I imagine him in a full pajama suit and cowboy boots.
Brilliant.
That's what I picture.
I was thinking a flannel toga.
That works.
And then the cowboy boots were like his laurels.
Great. Yeah. Really great.
Okay, what you just described as someone who went through a lot of effort. He's not ostracized from the party.
Yeah, but he just was different for different sake.
I think that's okay.
You gotta have that guy at the party, you know?
Yeah, you've gotta have that guy.
I'm out.
I thought you were talking.
You guys, Ben just left. My guess is that he has to take a massive dump.
Well, it's your house, so... Reap the consequences.
He's rifling through my kitchen.
Are you serious?
I'm just hearing a lot of noises.
He just could have metallic poop.
He's getting a LaCroix. We should have known.
Okay, that makes sense.
Ben, what kind of deck did you draft?
My deck was 1,000% Rebels. All Rebels, all the time.
Was it really?
Almost. Half the spells in my deck were Rebels.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So white and black.
White and black.
Rebels!
I had four of the cards that let you search for Rebels. I had three of the Rebels that let you tap creatures. I had one of the Rebels that was like a pacifism. It was a Rebel enchantment that was also pacifism. And then I had like one of the Rebels that was... he had like white fear... And I had two avian changelings, which count as rebels, because they have changeling. And I think that was all. Maybe I had like one more rebel of some kind.
What's the deal with the rebels?
Well, there's the searchers. There's like two common searchers that let you tap for four mana and tapping the guy. They let you search your deck for a rebel card and put it into play.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
For free.
Well, yeah, for the four mana that you paid. But it has to have converted mana cost three or less.
Oh, okay.
But
what,
all the rebel...
What rebel is that?
Hmm?
What rebel is that?
There's fluke? Two... One is Amru Scout, and it's a 2-1 for two with that ability. And then there's also a black one, which is a 1-1 for two, but then it can also tap to, like, do one damage or make opponent lose one life. So it's like a searcher and a pinger.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they were those cards were pretty sick. I also had like a Cloud Goat Ranger.
Oh, that guy's great.
Which is a 3/3 giant for five, and he gets, you put him into play, you get 3/1/1 tokens, and you can like tap those tokens to give him flying.
Yeah.
I also had a Bone Splitter, which is this ridiculous enchantment.
Check out this foil Bone Splitter I had.
Oh, my.
Bone Splitter.
And I had, like, a Tide Hollow Sculler, which is, like, a 2-2 for 2 that lets you exile a card from your opponent's hand. And I had some removal spells and, like, I had a couple of 3/3 goblins that let you get a creature back from your graveyard. So, all in all, you know, it's pretty little sweetheart deck.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Like, would you say this was one of your top draft experiences?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I played, let's see, the first deck, I think the first deck I played was like a storm deck. he was like trying to do storm stuff.
Oh yeah.
So he had like rift bolts.
I'm not brave enough to do that.
Yeah.
Tell me more about a storm. Tell us more about his deck.
So he had like rift bolt, which is a card with suspend one that does like two or three damage. I think it does three damage.
Three.
So you can suspend it, and then on the next turn you can cast it for free. And so that's good in the Storm deck, because cards with Storm let you make a copy of the card for every spell you cast that turn.
Oh, snap.
So if you can suspend a card, or better yet, if you can suspend a bunch of cards and set it up so that you're making a lot of mana one turn, or you're casting a lot of spells one turn, then you can cast, like, Empty the Warrens, which puts 2/1/1 goblin tokens into play and just make a bunch of copies of it. So he had that. He also had like Desperate Ritual, which is a splice onto arcane spell that adds, it's a 2-mana spell that adds 3 mana to your pool. So if you have like a bunch of arcane spells, you can kind of chain them all together, cast a bunch of spells. He had Glacial Ray, which is it's like a splice onto arcane shock. He also had Countryside Crusher, which just wrecked me one game. It's a 3/3 for 3. It's a giant. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, you reveal cards off the top of your library until you reveal a non-land card. And you, like, remove all the lands. So basically, once this guy's out, you're never drawing a land again. And he gets +1/+1 for every land you reveal. So, like, that guy was just too big for me to do anything about, like, turn after turn, and then I just died. He also had this... He had a Split Second card. It was, like, a shock with Split Second. Do you guys know what Split Second is?
You can't cast any other spells.
Yeah, when a card with Split Second is on the stack, you like no one can cast spells or use abilities. So it's like, I had my Rebel Searcher up, and like, I didn't know whether or not I should use them because he could at any moment just use Split Second, and then I wouldn't even get a chance to use the search ability if I wanted to.
Oh, so he'd use it like a cock block. I just got a nice shower of LaCroix over here.
Yeah. Well, Maria, now you know what it feels like. I'll do a spit take all over you.
Rich people shower with LaCroix daily. Yeah.
So yeah, that was my deck.
Is that first dude got you? Did you win or lose that first one that you were just talking about?
I won the match. I did lose one game when he got his Crusher out, and there was just nothing I could do against his Crusher. I didn't have the removal for it, Rose.
Yeah.
Man.
But it's the kind of format that I really want to draft again. And this is my question.
Go ahead.
What number of Modern Masters was this?
Oh, this is the first Modern Masters.
Oh, so is this going to be something they continually do? Do you know?
It will depend. If it's like real popular, I'm sure they'll do similar stuff again. They have done Masters Edition online. They've done like 4 of those, which were similar to Modern Masters, where they basically there's a bunch of like, you know, there's a bunch of old sets that never made it to Magic Online for whatever reason, because
yeah.
Magic Online only started, so, you know, they didn't start with the dark.
They didn't grandfather anything in.
They didn't release sets that came out before Magic Online started. So
they didn't grandfather anything in.
No, that's not really what grandfathering in means.
Isn't that what it means?
Grandfathering is when your child has a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
Grandfathering is when your child has a beard.
Grandfathering is when you get a girl so pregnant.
Is that it?
You know where I'm going with this.
Grandfathering is when you fuck a grandfather clock.
Or when you fuck in a grandfather.
So mice are constantly grandfathering.
Well, you think mice like go to a grandfather clock to do it?
Wouldn't you?
It's like the equivalent of going to like the ridge.
What do you mean the ridge? Do you mean like Makeout Point?
Yeah, like look over the city.
The ridge.
Like, oh hey, you gotta get away from the parents. Where are you gonna go? The grandfather clock.
It helps you set a rhythm, too. Bonus.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, yeah, there were a bunch of, like, old cards that they wanted to, like, people wanted to have access to online because, you know, these are cards that people played in Paper Magic, and it was kind of, like, inconvenient that they didn't have access to them online. And so they said, okay, well, we want to release these cards online, but instead of just, like, making the cards and having no real way for those cards to get out, like, into the wild or for people to use those packs, they made these online Masters Edition sets that were designed to be drafted. And yeah. So Modern Masters was a lot like that, except with, you know, more modern sets, and then also with the side effect of they wanted to reprint a bunch of cards that people need for the modern format, like Tarmogoyf or Dark Confidant, but that are pretty old and, like, old enough that the prices are really high, but good enough that people need, like, four of them for almost any deck that plays those colors. So they're trying to alleviate a little bit of that pressure. You know, there's some buildup, like, you know, a high-pressure dam situation or, like, the pneumatic tube that operates a crane or regenerative braking on a Prius automobile.
Like an astronaut who hasn't, you know, done it in 6 months aboard the ISS.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think astronauts are up there for 6 months. But maybe he had a dry spell beforehand.
Yeah.
That's right. He got in a fight with his significant other.
His what? NASA provided sex robot.
He had a fight with his
NASA sex robot. That is correct.
Something else Modern Masters has brought us is some new tokens. Or old tokens that I've never seen before. Megan, I'm going to show you a token. I want your honest reaction.
Dun, dun, dun. No, what? No! Ew! Put it away, Maria!
Maria is accosting Megan with a worm token.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's pretty gross.
I think...
What size is that worm? That doesn't look like a big worm.
It's a 1-1.
One.
I mean...
It's a worm with an O, not with a U. Worms with U's are big.
Worm.
Oh.
Worms with O's are just, you know, gotten by early birds.
The more you know.
They should have...
You know how they have, like Welcome Turn is a 2-1 that can only block creatures with flying?
Okay.
Sure.
They should have, like, can only block creatures with flying and worms. I want to point out that this is a creature type worm.
Yeah.
Which is different than creature type worm with a U.
Yeah, advent of the worm.
So watch out. Watch out for that when you're making your worm tribal deck.
Don't make... Wait, make it... Yeah.
Don't get confused by homonyms.
Worm, worm, worm. Okay, well, we're going to play a quick game called Guess Which Version of Worm I'm Saying.
Okay, go.
Worm.
That's the 1-1.
With a U.
No, it was with an O.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I knew it.
Worm.
Yeah, that was the same one. Still a 1-1.
No, that was a U.
Oh, I thought you were... Okay, do it again.
Okay, a new one. This is a new one. Worm.
Okay, yeah, that's the small one.
No, that's with a U.
Yes!
Okay, do it again.
Okay, here's a new one. Worm.
Oh, that's the one, the small one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one with an O. Okay. All right.
Sweet.
Okay, do it again.
Ben has to beat me.
Worm.
Yeah, that's a 1-1.
1-1.
Okay. Worm.
U.
Yeah, that's a 1-1.
No. That's with a U.
Yes.
Ben's just guessing that it's a 1-1 every time.
Oh.
Yeah.
You should go on Jeopardy. What is?
What is a worm? Well, that depends, Alex.
Ben, do you have a card of the week?
My card of the week is Boros Charm.
Why?
Because I can give things double strike, and that's fun.
Because he's looking for two of them.
Because I'm building a standard deck. I'll talk about it later.
Okay, stay tuned, listeners. That's exciting. We haven't really jumped into that format yet on the show, so...
Nope, it's scary and frightening.
How are you...
And that's why. It's like going into space. Are you going to get bombarded by cosmic rays?
By random loads?
Are you going to have sex for 6 months?
That would be scary if you had to have sex for 6 months straight.
Yeah, but that's what they have the fuck belt for.
That's like when, you know, you order way too much food. You're like, I'm so hungry. I'm going to eat two pizzas and chicken wings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you have one slice and you're like, uh-oh.
I'm so full.
So full.
Yes. Megan, do you have a card of the week to share?
You go first.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a Modern Masters card. It's one that everybody knows and loves, Mole Drifter.
Mm.
It's,
this card is insane!
Mole Drifter.
Mole Drifter, drifting along. Four colorless, one blue. It's 2/2, flying. When Mole Drifter enters the battlefield, draw 2 cards. Mm-hmm. You can also pay its evoke cost, which is 2 colorless, 1 blue, and then you can just cast it for that cost, and it's sacrificed when it enters the battlefield. So what I'm just saying is you just get to draw 2 cards. So you have options. You can either cast it as a creature with the upside of 2 card draw, or you can just cast it for the simple spell of drawing 2 cards.
Yeah.
Flexible. You know, I never knew flexibility in a card would be so important in Magic.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really valuable.
Yeah, I mean, think about the creatures that have Blood Rush.
Yeah.
One of the things that makes them so awesome is you can use them as a creature or as a trick. So compare this card to, like, what's his name? Zyrtas Swine, the 4/5 for 5 mana.
Mm-hmm.
That can also be a trick for 3 mana.
Great.
This either is a 2/2 flyer that draws you a bunch of cards, or if you don't have anything else to do on turn 3... and you're, like, worried that you're not
getting your lands,
gonna be able to draw, to play lands and cast your expensive spells, you can just cast him for the 2 cards, and that's just fine.
Yeah, he was an all-star, and everybody just loved him whenever he came out. They're like, oh, Mole Drifter!
I remember Mole Drifter! Also, the picture is ridiculous. Megan, have you seen this picture?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, it's so cute.
Yes.
It's like a fish, but he has wings.
He's smiling.
What I love is that his wings kind of look like they might be made out of water. He has, like, water wings.
Yeah, well, he is an elemental, so that makes sense.
And he has eyelashes. I think it's a girl, you guys.
I have eyelashes. She has eyelashes.
Also, he looks like he would make some really delicious sushi.
Ben!
Mole Drifter!
How dare you?
So let's just... Ben would like to evoke for 2 colorless and a blue and make sushi.
I want to evoke him and then sack him in response to the evoke trigger.
sack him
to
my
Ma
stomach.
The Obsidat.
Yeah.
Ma the Obsidat needs some chopsticks in the art.
Okay, totally.
Is he just holding him in one of those, like, those hands?
Or, like, Sire of Insanity, he could use chopsticks.
Oh, but his hands are on his little human doll.
Oh, the Sire.
He should be eating the human with chopsticks, is what I'm saying.
And...
we need to get it cultural here.
Yeah. Let's get with it.
Let's Sire get some chopsticks into this
card. No one eats with their hands. That's rude.
What do you think of this card, Ben? Incremental Growth, 3 colorless, 2 green.
This Incremental Growth card, I think, is pretty butt-snusted.
Yeah.
I don't remember what set this was from originally. One of the Lorwyn sets, or the Shadowmoor sets,
must have been. Looks like Lorwyn.
From Lorwyn.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I think this card's pretty crazy.
Cause I took it and I wasn't 100% if it was going to be great, but every time I played it, it was super great.
Yeah.
You get to put a 1/1 counter on one creature, 2/1/1 counters on another, and 3/1/1 counters on a third for 5 mana.
It's like a really bitchin' common bond.
It's just really cool.
It's 6 points of, like, hasty power.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Which means, like, basically, if you have this card in any number, and any, like, if you have this and 3 creatures on the board, they all get to attack. And if you have a deck with a lot of flyers, it's absurd.
Which I did, you guys.
Nice. Can we just read the flavor text real quick? Tie a mouse under a bridge and your cabbages will triple in size.
Yeah.
Flavor text.
You know what? The Welsh people should not be offended with such a flavor text as that. What's your card, Megan?
My card is Call of the Conclave. I just I forgot how much I like that card, but with all of Dragon's Maze being out and RTR being back, and like Ben was saying, I've been also playing around with trying to put together a standard deck, and it's like, dude,
what?
A 3/3 centaur for two is pretty sweet.
What's in your standard deck? Pack rats and centaur tokens?
There's no pack rats in it. there's centaurs. It's centaurs.
Ooh, centaur based.
It's centaur based.
Hot. Is that true?
I might be lying about that. It's green. It is green white.
Oh, that's your. Those are your guild colors.
They're my colors, ma'am. They're my colors. There's some centaurs, and then there's some chorus of might. I don't know what's gonna happen.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Point being, do you know what a 3/3 centaur for two? Is a pretty sweet deal.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
So, there you go.
My lessons learned this week is that this is more of a challenge for myself, playing on Magic the Gathering Online. I would say, it's really a sad statistic. Half of my games, I make a play error that caused me to lose. I do not do this in real life. You know, maybe once you get this, Megan, you'll... I don't know if you can sympathize with me, but it's just like different...
Right now I'm just judging you.
Okay, sure. It's just a different environment. You kind of don't take as much stock in it because it's, you know, virtual and, you know, you're distracted by other things happening in your life.
I was going to say, you have owned up to also like browsing online while you're
doing your taxes.
Yes, yes, I do that.
Estimated taxes are due tomorrow, you guys. I actually disagree with my experience when I started playing online was completely different. I was it felt so much more like gambling to me.
Oh, yeah.
That I was like, every click, I was like, oh God. Oh God, if I make a mistake, I'm going to lose my house.
Well, yeah, and you do in a way, because I have made mistakes that have caused me to lose matches and lose money. And it's kind of like getting to the point where it's just like I just play too quickly on there and I don't read everything because the cards are smaller than in real life.
That is annoying.
And I don't know. So this is just, I'm just saying this out loud in public so that I can be publicly shamed if I continue to do this.
Wow, yeah. We'll have to put you in the stocks.
Stop losing because of play errors.
I was in the stocks before on this show for when I kept a one lander when I shouldn't have. That was not a pretty experience.
Yeah.
We put you in stocks?
Ben and
yeah, we should just say you should basically never keep a one lander, you guys.
Yeah, right.
Unless you have four cards in your hand.
Yeah. I was put in the stocks by Ben, who publicly ridiculed me a la Renaissance Fair style.
Right. Yeah. I threw a tomato at her. Yeah. And some poop.
Go back and find that nugget, listeners. Anyway, that's my lessons learned for this week.
Enjoy.
My lesson learned is that I don't know shit. But really, I feel like I am constantly reminded of that sometimes.
What do you mean?
Where it's just sort of like, oh my God, sometimes I don't even remember, we've been playing RTR block since October, and I don't even always remember all of the cards that are in RTR block. Sometimes there are cards in that surprise me.
We weren't with the original, you know, Return to Ravnica that long.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't come in with the rest of the freshmen. You transferred halfway through the year.
Yeah.
And it was awkward and we were the new kids the whole time.
Right. It was it was the show got brought back for the second half of the season and then you were the new characters. So everyone else who was in the original show wasn't friends. They didn't have plot lines with you.
Yeah. Maria and I have our own plot line, which is going, it's going okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a fan favorite, and it's are they going to kill these characters off?
Oh, sure.
I feel sure. I'm due for a good murder.
Good murder, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe an inheritance.
Yep.
Or like or like you get a job.
In high school.
Yeah. Like a part-time job.
Oh, okay.
Like at the mango hut.
The mango hut. So wait, if I just got a part-time job at the mango hut, do I still sometimes get to make cameos on the show, like in the hallway?
Well, we still see you when we all hang out at the mango hut.
Oh, okay, those are my scenes.
What does the mango hut sell?
Smoothies.
Okay.
Mangoes.
Just making sure.
No, it sells whole fruits.
Yeah,
they're none where you can eat the skin. So it's like pineapples, cantaloupes, mangoes, honeydew.
Maria's cat just sneezed all over her fucking face.
I can't breathe.
Maria's cat did a spit take.
I'm laughing so hard.
Man. Your cat is an asshole. Oh, I have to sneeze. Oh, I have to sneeze. Achoo!
Oh my god. I have a great moments in addiction this week.
Why don't you lay it on us?
I haven't had one of these in a while. My great moment in addiction is from Modern Masters Draft, where I was sitting kitty corner from a guy who played a Tarmogoyf. And he hadn't, like, announced it. He hadn't been like, I pulled a Goyf or whatever during the draft.
I pulled $130 out of this pack.
Yeah.
By the way, last week I worked out a little too hard and I pulled a Goyf.
Perfect.
Did you yell, Tarmogoyf?
No, but I had to pay some chick $50 to rub out my Goyf.
Rub out your Goyf. I understand. Yeah. So I was sitting across from this guy. He didn't make any recognition of putting it on the table when he played it or when he had pulled it or anything.
Yeah.
So I felt it necessary at the time to, like, yell so the whole room could hear me.
Goyf alert!
Goyf alert! Everybody just turns like, you know, who pulled it? This asshole! You know, like, maybe he wanted to...
Get him!
Maybe he wanted to remain anonymous. But I just couldn't hold it in, you guys.
Maria couldn't do it.
If I pulled a Goyf, I would just stand up from the table and leave.
Bye, Ben.
Like, where's Ben going?
I must have pulled a Goyf again.
He needs to go get a massage. And
that, so that's your moment in addiction?
Yes, because I think it was in that moment that I realized I really am one of you.
Yeah, you are.
You know, I've made the transition.
Yeah, you have, because you really have no use for a Tarmogoyf, right?
No. But it's just like...
Goyf alert!
I couldn't even, like, control my excitement about it. And
no.
It was just like a great moment. I had to out this guy in front of the whole store.
Yeah.
Sorry, poor guy. Dude.
Yeah.
Probably got mugged on the way out.
Yeah, I would. That's a bad neighborhood.
Probably my.
It led to a chain of muggings because then someone mugged the person who mugged him.
Oh yeah.
And then the first mugger also got mugged.
A comedy of errors.
It was
like a scene out of a Pink Panther movie.
Yes.
It was my Switchblade gang, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh!
Do you have any cards you want to create this week?
I think I wrote down face sneeze.
Yeah, Rakdos face sneeze.
Oh, yeah.
Rakdos face sneeze and chain of muggers.
Chain of muggers makes me think of a magic card called Chain Lightning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's look up this magic card just so you guys can read it. You guys know Lightning Bolt, right?
Chain of lightning? Of
lightning? Oh, yeah. No, just Chain Lightning.
Chain grease lightning. Go Grease Lightning.
Yeah. So Chain Lightning is kind of a variant on Lightning Bolt, but I believe it's a sorcery.
Snap. Okay, here it is. Sorcery. It costs one red. Chain Lightning deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Then that player or that creature's controller may pay 2 red mana. If the player does, he or she may copy the spell and may choose a new target for that copy.
So granted, when you combine this with the spell mugging, it's not quite as good. But I still like it.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, this card...
Okay.
So this card is interesting. It sees some play because, like, three damage for one mana is pretty sweet, like, even if it's a sorcery. Like, even though it's a sorcery, that's kind of overpowered. So people will play it, like, just to have four more lightning bolts that are slightly worse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought of one.
Okay.
My creator...
Oh, and also, I just want to point out that this card was in... a Modern Masters set online because it was originally in Legends and people didn't have it online, so they put it in Masters Edition 3, which is one of the online sets, which is kind of like Modern Masters.
Sweet.
History shit.
My creator card is Wormworm. And this is first Worm with an O and then Worm with a U.
Uh-huh. And it's creature type Wormworm?
Creature type Wormworm. it's green, of course. It is a 1/1 when you play it for one green mana. But then it has a little text on it that says early bird. And if you have a flying creature of some sort on the table, by turn 4 or earlier.
Wait, what?
Listen, hear her out.
You can transform.
You have to know what number of turn it is.
Okay. Maybe it has to be a... Maybe once you put out a three drop or less flyer, an early bird. So it can be a 1/1 flyer, a 2/2 flyer, a 3/3 flyer. You can transform worm into... And then he becomes a 5/5 worm with a U.
Wait, how does that make sense?
Because the early bird got the worm.
And then
okay.
The worm's dad showed up?
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you manage to get a flyer out on turn 2, this is a fucking 5/5.
The early bird got the worm, and it's a reward. It's as a reward, the early bird got a fucking huge worm.
Yeah.
Okay, I have Rakdos face sneeze.
Rakdos fake sneeze.
Face sneeze. I'm going to call this card...
We also do Rakdos Fakesies?
Sure.
Fakesies.
You work on that. It's a super instant.
Oh. Super instant.
Uh-huh. Go on.
I don't know how that makes it any different from being an instant.
Maybe it has split second.
It has split second. There you go. It's a super instant, which essentially means it has split second. So nothing else can be... cast while it's on the stack. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't know what it is yet. I just wanted to make it a super instant.
I think it has split second, and it costs one Rakdos hybrid mana, and it's an instant, and it does one damage to target player.
Yeah, to the face.
It does one damage to target player.
I think you also get to take the top card off of their deck and throw it at them.
What if it's the top card from their deck and it does damage equal to its converted mana cost?
What if you can just take the top card off their deck, pull it out of its sleeve, and sneeze on it? Then I think it would be pretty good in Modern Masters because they might concede.
Yeah, rather than having to do that. What if you could lick the card?
Oh, God.
What if you could lick their face?
That would be Rakdos lick sleeve.
That sounds more like a Simic thing to me.
It totally does. That's true. Okay, so what does this actually do? It costs one hybrid red-black.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it do? Does it just do one damage
one
to them?
Damage one damage to target to the player.
Face. One damage to the face. All right. And
split second.
Optional, you can lick their face.
Perfect.
Their face or their card?
No, their face.
This is getting personal.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Modern Masters, more like Modern Masturbators, right?
What? How is licking someone else's face related to masturbating?
Yeah. It's my thing.
You're reaching, Maria. And not around.
That's the best put down I've ever had told to me.
You're welcome. listeners, if you thought of any phrases that you thought we have should have turned into cards and we just missed the boat. You can write to us at P.O. Box 892-324-4848, area code 82934-41506.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And then email us at magicktheamateuring@gmail.com or tweet us at MTAcast.
Yeah.
Or send us messages on Magic Online. I'm middle schooler.
I'm horny underscore unicorny.
And Megan is Omega Wolf 212.
No, I'm not.
Don't listen, you guys. That's, she doesn't have one lie. Yet.
Leave Omega Wolf 212 alone. It's not Megan.
Poor person. I don't know who it is.
You can also send us a message through our website at magicktheamateuring.com or leave us a review on iTunes. If you leave us a little review, write some words. Down about the show.
We will.
Two people viewed us, but they did not leave any words, so yeah. We didn't know who it was. We couldn't thank them.
Oh wow.
Yep.
So maybe they were scared.
I know they're terrified. They
should be because we make a pun of your iTunes username. So
Could go either way. It could be a compliment or a terrifying insult. So yep. If you want to expose yourself to that kind of abuse,
it's a toss up.
Yeah.
We love when anybody gives us some little message on Twitter. A lot of people make cards for us that we mention on the show for Create a Card.
It's completely not mandatory.
No. But
if that's how you're going to spend your time, you might as well at least tell us about it.
You might as well follow us on Twitter. Look, I'm trying to get us up to 200 followers.
Oh, wow. That's almost as many as I
have. Oh, my God. Ben, shut up. You're older than us.
So tell your friends to get on Twitter and follow us. I don't care if they listen to the show. You get on if you're not on there. You can follow a lot of great magic personalities. It's a fun time. It's like a little party, you know?
Yeah, every day we're, ordering bottles of champagne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then sending them back because they're undercooked.
I really hoped you were going to say we're ordering pizzas. Like I'm not even hungry.
Pizza parties?
Yeah.
Twitter pizza party.
I don't know, you guys. I would say a third of the time I'm thinking about snacks. So
What are the other one-thirds?
Well, the other one-third of the time I'm just contemplating the extreme failure that is my life. I think after tonight I'm going to take the one-third of time that I usually spend contemplating my failure and start thinking about how often they have sex in space.
God.
I think that does. Never. I think that deserves some contemplation.
It's never happened.
I bet. It's got to be single digits.
I think maybe self sex has happened in space.
Self sex.
You guys, I'm gonna Google this. How should I phrase this? How often do astronauts have sex?
No, because that could
just go straight to Yahoo Answers.
Has anyone... I want to see how far until Google completes this.
Just Google astronauts banging.
It won't. How often do astronauts go to the moon?
Has anyone ever had sex in space? Oh, first result, Yahoo Answers. Called it.
No real conclusive findings.
Oh, man, Ben.
There are rumors abound, but no confirmed acts of space sex.
You guys, there's a Wikipedia page called Sex in Space.
Anyway, that's our show, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Remember, if you have sex in space, put on your fuck belt.
And send us a tweet to let us know that.
Yeah.
To confirm.
Beware of the psychosocial issues which may arrive.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Be careful.
We'll see.
You don't want to get a psychosocially transmitted disease.
We'll see you, jerks, in episode 25.
That'll be the next episode.
Right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.